Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever.
Hello, welcome to another Winona Wednesday. Today we're discussing the film The Informers.
Yes.
Based on the Bret Easton Ellis novel. I'm renaming him. His name's Ellen now. And he also had a hand in writing the screenplay, producing or whatever he did. And it's like 1983, L.A., Hollywood, sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't know. And it's
like the entire thing.
And it touches on AIDS, but it doesn't really say it, or because nobody knew what it was back then. But it's kind of revolves around this kind of maybe AIDS thing. Anyway, so that's, I don't know, like it was another one of the, like, if you've ever seen any other or read Bret Easton Ellis, like, I don't know what his name is anymore, but he has
too many names.
Yeah, he's just, I don't know, it's just all kind of the same, these rich.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's
white
80s.
Cocaine.
Which is one thing.
Heroin. Like, yeah.
They're based in the 80s. Yeah, they're Bret. Cocaine, they
have lots of the sex.
Have a lot of money.
They are in Hollywood. They're executives. They're producers. They're the directors. They make music videos. Yeah. They're in TV. You know, they sell drugs.
It's hard to say there was a main character in this because there were so many different people. Like, this isn't a novel. It's a short story collection. So that's kind of like, you can see that there's all these different stories, even though the people kind of link together. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's maybe a few people who don't, but most of them do.
Yeah.
But when I say the main guy, I guess I mean
the son, Graham.
Yeah. He looked a little like Patrick Bateman or whatever his name is from, American Psycho.
He had that kind of character. Slicked hair and...
Preppy, blondish.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Hunky.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
I don't even know, like, the main, other than Amber Heard, like, that main group of young people that this was about, I didn't know any of those actors.
No, I didn't.
They were all kind of nobody, no names.
You know the guy who gets hit by the car at the beginning, in that beginning scene?
Bruce, I guess his character.
He's something. He's somebody.
He's somebody?
I don't know who he is, but
he's
somebody.
Who Bruce is.
There's a lot of people. Like, the opening scene, there's a party, and of course, I guess there's like a threesome gonna happen between Bruce, Graham, and the blonde girl.
Christy Amber Heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right before Bruce takes a step forward, he gets plowed by a car.
Interesting.
And Graham watches him die, and that's the opening scene. And then, you know, the funeral happens. I think the description of the film, it says it takes place over a week, but it seems like it's longer than that, but maybe not.
Yeah, because Amber Heard, she gets very sick.
She gets very sick, but... so fast, suddenly.
Yeah. The guy who played Bruce has only been in two other things.
Oh. Okay, never mind.
Fernando Consagra.
Well, maybe he just has a familiar face.
Yeah.
Good old Fernando.
Looked like somebody.
Shout out to Fernando.
Yeah, like, I don't know. There's the rock star storyline. There's these rich kids who are, like, making music videos. So I guess that's how those two come together.
Yeah.
They make a music video for that rock star, I think?
Yeah, they make one of his music videos. I'm pretty sure.
There's the Billy Bob, Kim Basinger, Basinger, whatever storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes together because Graham is their son.
Right. And Winona, it was Billy Bob's ex, like, mistress.
Yeah.
And that's her character. And
She's a newscaster.
She's also a newscaster. So she's always on the news. You just see her face every once in a while.
Yeah. That's almost her only thing in this. Yeah. Like she's bit, I think maybe she has two or three other scenes where she actually talks to people.
She also has a driving scene, of course.
Yes.
And she's looking for cigarettes. This is like a cigarette looking driving scene. I was like, this is like peak Winona.
Yeah, it really was. I totally was like, I think Matt was like peripherally in the room while I was watching it. And I was like, she's driving again. That's her thing.
Yeah, she was driving. Brad Renfro was in this. So this was his last role.
Yeah. Before they dedicated the movie to him, because I guess he died like maybe around when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad. His character was so sad too. It was kind of depressing.
It really was.
His dad was a piece of shit or whatever he was.
His uncle. Oh, what's that actor's name?
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke.
Who like kidnaps a child and puts him in a tub, tries to sell him to some other people to try to, I don't know why.
Yeah, it's really horrible.
It's really fucked up. But Brad Renfro pretends he kills the kid, but the kid escapes. Whew.
Yeah, he lets the kid go.
Yeah, obviously, because God.
Yeah, because you have to be a totally terrible person to be okay with killing a kid.
Kim Basinger, Alec Baldwin's ex. She was she was having an affair with the Graham's friend.
Martin.
Who Graham was also like sleeping with.
And
as
so
well
was
as
his girlfriend.
As his girlfriend. And
I think Bret Easton Ellis loves
he was
that
also
shit.
And Martin was also having or sleeping over at the rock star's ex wife's house. That's where he was staying at the end.
Whew, so many people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes, I could not figure out how she connected to them. Like, how did Amber Heard know her? I don't know. Maybe they explained. I didn't know.
I think it was just, you know, just through it
just
all.
Just somebody she knows, yeah.
Yeah. And then there was that storyline in Hawaii with Louis Taylor Pucci, that little guy who's in Thumbsucker and The Go-Getter, that actor.
Oh,
and his and, father was Chris Isaac.
Yeah,
which is really funny because it's like Chris Isaac.
Yeah, I was like excited for Chris Isaac, but he was a terrible guy.
Yeah, he was a douchey dad.
Totally douchey dad, trying to pick up girls for
him and his son.
Yeah,
that's creepy. And his son thought it so too.
Yes, he did. I thought for a time that maybe the storyline was headed in the direction that the son was gay and the dad was like not cool with it or something, because there was so much of him like trying to force girls on him and him not being cool with it. Like not to say that he was gay because he wasn't cool with his dad forcing girls on him. That was just awkward. But like there was a moment where, there was a guy kind of hitting on him maybe at a bar. Though we're seeing it from a distance, so for all we know, he's just talking to him. But there's something about Chris Isaac's face while he's watching that.
Mm-hmm.
And then later he like, teases him about getting
hit on. Well,
it
appears like everybody in his little social circle is, like, queer or bisexual or whatever. So he could very well be as well.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But his dad didn't.
His dad doesn't.
I thought there'd be a storyline about it, though. Like, I thought there was something that was going to happen with the dad being, like,
no, it was just a lot of, like, drama that it didn't lead to anything, those two. Like, it was like, oh, okay. That was their trip to Hawaii, you know? Father-son bonding. Like, it could have been, like, a TV show.
One of the people that the dad was hitting on, like, I recognized one of the women at the bar, like, when there's the two women that, her name is Katie Mixon. I don't really know her from anything except for Drive Angry, which Amber Heard is also in. They were both waitresses.
Oh.
It's a Nicolas Cage movie, of course.
There it is. I was like, where is the Nicolas Cage in this? So there.
But I was like, wait a second. Amber Heard's in this. They were waitresses together in the movie. Anyway. There you go.
There's a Devo song that's played.
And
the dad and the Tim, they jam out to Devo.
Yeah.
And
it was Freedom of Choice. I wrote it down.
Oh, yes.
The music was good. That like,
yeah.
I mean, but it seemed so much like it was trying to tell us it was the 80s because like there was just a recognizable song after recognizable 80s song.
Yeah.
What did I write down? They played the Safety Dance music video. Was played. I don't know. the thing though with the musician, like he's just a made up musician. Yeah. So then they had to make up like 80s-ish music in 2008 or whatever. Yeah. And it wasn't that good. Like it sounded too modern. And the music video wasn't 80s looking at all.
No, it was 90s.
It was totally 90s looking. And like Matt was saying, the production values were too good for it to be an 80s music video. Oh, yeah. Like it was just, yeah. They didn't do a good job with that.
Well, that rock star was creepy. He was like, he woke up with underage kids in his bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they had to come and
like, and then at the end, he like, he did that thing to some that young girl. He like strangled her and punched her.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But we don't know what happened. Like, did he kill her?
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. Like, she was waiting for him in the hotel room.
Yeah,
like, it was a groupie type thing, and then yeah, he strangled her, punched her. Oh yeah, he was creepy. Yep, it's just a bunch of creeps, or like I don't really know what their purpose is, you know?
Yeah, like, they're like they don't know how to function because they were, you know, they're just
too rich.
Too rich. They're really too rich. They were not, you know, they were not parented, they were not disciplined, they were not anything. There was that conversation in the car with Graham and Martin, and they were just, you know, having this like kind of almost existential crisis because he's like, what do I do? Like, you know, is it just Christy? What is the point of all this kind of thing? It's like exactly what you don't even know what your purpose is. Like you don't, because you're just so rich. You're so rich. Yeah. The guy's like, you have everything. He's like, I don't even know what that even, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rich people, poor things.
I mean, I don't know how much this is actually like the short story collection because when I haven't read that particular one, but when I was reading up on the movie and the making of it, it sounds like, you know, the typical, like it was going one way and then it went another way because of like the studio and changing directors. Because I think the other person who was writing it, the screenplay with Bret Easton Ellis, was going to direct it. And then he didn't end up directing it. Somebody else did. And it like went in a different direction. And the book was like supernatural in some way. Like there was vampires in it.
Okay.
And so Brandon Routh, he's like Superman or whatever. He was in it as a vampire, but he wasn't actually in it because they cut that whole storyline.
Okay.
But he was going to be a vampire in it.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Some Buffy vibes or something?
I have no idea.
Or Angel, because, like, you know, the vampires in LA. You know?
In LA. There you go.
I don't know.
Angel-esque. Might have liked it better. Who knows? Bret Easton Ellis didn't like it. He said he didn't recognize his book in it. He said he recognized moments, but, like, mostly it wasn't like his book.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie Rules of Attraction?
Yes.
Did you like that?
I don't remember if I liked the movie.
Did you read it?
Read the book.
Did you like that?
I think I liked it enough. I feel like I got angry at aspects of it.
I think I liked it when it came out. And like, but I think I liked it as a screenplay, but as opposed to like the film itself. Because I watched it when I was studying screenwriting or whatever, and I was just like, oh, this screenplay is cool because look at this. And
right.
I broke it down. But anyway, but the film itself is kind of raunchy and gross.
Yeah, I can't remember. I had a lot of feelings about it at the time, actually.
Dawson, isn't it? Ew.
I think I might have actually written a review on Letterboxd. I never do, but I think I did for that. I don't know if I'll be able to find it quickly, but we'll splice my review back in. I guess if I looked up Rules of Attraction instead of going through my diary, I might find it. Because, yeah, I was reading, I don't know, I like Bret Easton Ellis' books generally. So I decided to, I think I read that one. And then I liked
Shannon Sossaman pretty much from Rules of Attraction when it comes down to it. She was just cool.
Which person was that?
Like the girl with the early 2000s hair with the side things. She was in another movie with Josh Hartnett.
Oh, yes. I know who you mean.
40 Days and 40 Nights, yeah. Which was directed by the guy who did Heathers, Michael Lehman.
Can I see what I wrote? So sad. Oh, here we go. Oh, I said it was true to the style of the book, but stripped of all the gayness. the film neutered Paul and denies him any reciprocation. So I don't remember what happened. But Paul's character was gay in the book, but he really kind he was of wasn't.
Also, he was in the movie, but they didn't. He didn't have any sex.
Yeah.
This movie's full with, like, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just like they just didn't let him have any sex.
There you go. That's I guess is fair. What I was saying.
That shit is bullshit.
Thank you for deciphering what part of you meant.
There was a really fun scene though with George Michael. Him and his friend are dancing to a George Michael song in the bed. But it's like, shouldn't that lead to sex?
Sure. That could have. It probably did in the book.
Book or whatever, but anyway. It was only implied.
Yeah. Well, I guess in this movie, like, I don't know how gay the book was, but I would assume somewhat. Whereas this movie was also somewhat, but not like not a lot of
overtly
direct
like it was just subtle gay sex, you know?
Yeah. Did we see it? I don't even remember. Or was it just, like, implied?
It was implied. Like, you know, Graham and Martin wake up beside each other, blah, blah, blah.
That was the type of thing. Yeah. But I guess, I was going to say that was the same with the, male-female sex. But I think you actually, like, Amber Heard was naked a lot in this. And she was, like, riding him a bit, I guess. I don't know. She was on top of him in them. Yeah. So we saw some sex.
There was some sex.
Oh, no, there definitely was. Remember there was the scene where they're, like, frolicking and she's naked. And I don't know if the guy, I don't think the guys were, but there was, like, guys all over her. Yeah.
This was the whole thing.
I don't know. It was, yeah. Yep.
Billy Bob was so Billy Bob.
Yeah, he really was. And he was, yeah, he was
Winona's. He was so creepy in the bathroom when she was like, no, I don't want to see you anymore.
Yeah, Winona.
And then he was like, you know, yes, you do, and I'll see you this Friday or whatever.
He almost didn't even acknowledge what she was saying.
No, he just ignored her.
Well, I'll see you at that party. And she's like, they cut
it so, like, he was just focusing on her lips. He was just like, oh, those are nice lips. I'm still going to pursue you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit what you're saying to me.
He was super
creepy. Was, like, so creepy. She's like, okay.
Yeah, and she, like, seemed scared of it.
Yeah, so that's why she kind of went along with it, because it, like, looked like he was going to, like, hurt her. I was kind of worried for her in that scene.
Yeah. What? Because in the scene, like, oh, yeah, there's a scene where she's, I guess, taking a lunch break from work or something, and then she goes to this restaurant and sees that he's in it, and then she just, like, leaves and goes to, like, some dive. That's where she's driving and getting cigarettes.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But, like, clearly she's trying to avoid him and a little scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, again, I think because it's kind of an anthology film, we don't really get to see anything play out fully. Like, that storyline kind of just ends. Like, Kim Basinger's just like, okay, I'm going to go with you to this party, but then you're going to come home and pack your things. Because the whole premise with them is that he was with Kim Basinger. I guess he left her for Winona. He came back and moved back into the house and then decided he still wanted Winona and was going back after her, but pretending that he wasn't. And so then Kim Basinger's like, I see what you're doing.
You're caught. You're done.
Yeah, exactly. You're moving out. And she doesn't even, she, like, goes with him to the party, but, like, doesn't get out of the car.
No,
she's just like, he gets out and stands there by himself. And I think that was it for that whole storyline.
That's it.
So who knows what that happened there. But then, yeah, Amber Heard, did she die?
Just lying on the beach there?
Yeah.
No. I think that it was implied that she was just going to, like, wither away there. Like, I think. Right. But I don't think she actually died. But I was like, she's kind of dead.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he, like, left her dead there. Like, if she, I don't know. Yeah. It was too far away to tell.
She must have known that she had
something.
Because there was she was watching TV and she changed a channel when they were talking about AIDS.
Right.
So she knew that there was something. So she's just like,
I don't want to think about it. And she didn't want to go to a doctor, I guess, which is why she was, like, wasting away. And she was like, what do you think this is? When she wasn't so sick, she was like, what do you think this is? She had, like, a
lesions and stuff,
And then somebody else said her lymph nodes were swollen, and so she looked pretty terrible at the end.
Yeah,
they
really
had her very gray and, like, spotty. So there you go. So yeah, Winona barely in it. Yep. That's, but I mean, not bad.
She wasn't bad.
She's fine. She's like fine. You said, she was peak Winona with the cigarettes and driving. Yeah. She used a cigarette machine, which I guess also placed it in the 80s.
Right, yes.
There you go. Some little things.
She used two fingers to press the buttons, like with two hands.
Oh.
Which I was like, okay, it's a tough one.
Interesting.
Tough, good choice there.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of horrible people. But I think we're finding that in some of these movies, that they're just like horrible people. This did not get good ratings. It got like, it has 12% or something on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh. So,
oh no.
I saw that before I watched it, and I was like, oh, darn. This isn't going to be good.
Sucks.
Yeah, it was half an hour before we saw Winona. But like, I think it was half an hour before we saw a scene with her in it. I think she was on the TV before that. Mm. But I looked at like the time, and it was like, 35 minutes in or something, where she finally like got to talk to somebody. And I was like, oh
crap,
she's barely in this. It's a sad time. Oh dear.
Winona.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean,
this is around the time where everyone, this is where you were missing Winona, because you know, we need some, you know, Winona content here. Come on, you know.
You mean like we were missing her because we weren't getting anything good?
Yeah,
from her, or
yeah.
Like
they, well, because yeah, we weren't getting any, you know, nanny films.
It's so true. We're so pained by what's happening. It's just so funny because when we started this podcast, people continuously were like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe how many like movies she's been in, and like how like right out the gate she was in all these like hit films or like films that we love, whether they're cult films or whatever." And then now we've hit this lull, and I don't know if we ever come out of it. Are you scrolling through her IMDb right now to see if we come out of it?
No, I was looking at the Informer's trivia.
Okay.
Most of the film was shot in Uruguay.
Yeah, I wrote that down as well, that it was filmed in LA, Uruguay, and Buenos Aires. I don't know. Like, I keep saying, like, this is a sad time, and feeling like we're going to dig out of this sad time eventually, but I don't know. See, I can only compare this to Nicolas Cage because he's the only other person that I've, like, dug through their entire chronology. And obviously, I haven't made it all the way through Winona yet. But at least with him, if he's in a bad movie, he still seems to be the star of it. Like, now she's kind of these bit parts, so we're mm-hmm. barely even getting her, even when we're watching the movie. And, like, as I argue in my book, he's still doing something interesting with the film, and I'm just, like, bored, sadly, with the Winona stuff, and I don't want that. She's good. She could be in better things.
She really could.
I think this happened with the with Mike and Joey when they did the Keanu podcast. They got into some dark times.
Really?
Yeah. They didn't like some of his stuff, but it might have been the early stuff. I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm wondering what he can't like of Keanu's.
I don't know.
The we'll River's check in with them so and good. Find anyway,
out.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but again, this is like, if you were to say that to somebody who liked Winona and didn't like watch all of it, they'd be like, "What do you mean? She's so great."
There's got to be some bad stuff in there. It's true, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, the next one I've watched, and I actually did an episode for the Keanu podcast on this because he's in the next one.
Oh, yes.
So is this is our second Keanu one? Because Dracula?
No, that's true. I was thinking of something else, but yes.
It's in the future.
It's in the future.
So yes. It's, what is it called? The something of Pippa Lee?
Private Lives of Pippa Lee. Private Lives of
Pippa Lee.
With Robin Wright. Pen,
yeah. I feel I've seen this movie. This will be like my third watch when
or
I watch
it. Or is she Robin Wright now? Is she Robin Wright Penn? She was Robin Wright Penn in the film time, but I think she's now Robin Wright.
Yeah, now in life.
In life. Alan Arkin, isn't it?
Hello. Yeah, it's another like ensemble cast kind of thing. I feel like Winona's not in the film with that many people.
Yeah.
Or in it for very long. Like, I don't even remember if she acts with Keanu.
I don't think it was very much. I did see the movie, but I don't really remember it.
I feel like I picked it for the Keanu podcast because Winona was in it. So I was like, and I think I'd already seen it, but maybe I hadn't. I don't remember. But then I was like, oh, darn, there's not that much Winona. So that's what we're in for, is again, not a lot of Winona. And a really terrible, like, Keanu was a really bad dude in it.
Oh.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, but I, okay. Yeah, I don't remember it.
He's a bad guy.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
So, yeah, again, we're going to be like,
oh, no, we saw a lot of the sentiments. The bug one with Keanu.
Oh, yeah. With okay,
the,
so.
The you're right. Scanner Darkly.
That's the bug right. one. I love that that's the salient point for you. Of Scanner Darkly will forever be the bugs. I was thinking about the bugs. What was I watching? I was watching something where bugs were crawling all over somebody. Anyways, it was a new, like, TV show or something, and it had like bugs crawling all over somebody, and I was like, see, that's an example of a live action film where they put bugs, like, there's not real bugs crawling on him. Yeah. It's fake, but it's also current. Who knows what it was. Well, they the did 90s it in Buffy, when was Scanner
and they like yeah and they did it in and they did it in the 90s in Craft.
There you go. Bugs it's everywhere. Doable. Yeah, it's totally doable.
Indiana Jones. Hello.
Well, they didn't want, they weren't looking to make a live action film when they made Scanner Darkly.
They wanted to be,
that's all there is to that.
Trippy. They wanted to be trippy.
Yeah.
They
he found this like style of animation that he liked, I guess. But we didn't. Yeah. I'm sad to think that in the next, like, in this one, we said she's not in it very much. We're sad. Like, and there's horrible people. I feel like we've said that in some previous films that we've watched.
Yeah.
And we're going to say it again next damn. Winona Wednesday.
So stay tuned.
So stay tuned for more of that. Though I think there's more meat to that film than there was to this one
yeah.
that we just watched. Though I think it's another kind of an ensemble cast-y kind of thing, which seems to be what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well.
All right.
See ya for Pippa.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.